Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This is our text. You may be seated. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. That one Sunday of the year, no matter what I say, it will make no sense. And so therefore, here you go. Today we have that opportunity to confess the Athanasian Creed. That one Sunday of the church here, we join our voices together. And to make it easier, we do it on the bulletin insert with men and women parts. And we confess this creed together. And you should be thankful for that creed. Think how the world would be different if it wasn't for the confession of the church and that finding of the terminology triune and Trinity. For without those words, you and I would be forced to have theological conversations by whipping out our Athanasian Creed and going through all the articles of the faith, as numerous as they may be, before we could make a theological point. So we're grateful for the Athanasian Creed. But then there are some that would say, "But pastor, the words triune and the words Trinity are not used in Scripture, and so therefore those terms are disqualified for use within the church." It's a little bit like saying, before Sir Isaac Newton outlined that theory of gravity, that we'd simply fly off the face of the earth because there wasn't a word called gravity to describe it, which makes little or no sense at all. So the point I'm making, although the words Trinity and Triune don't appear in Scripture, they are certainly useful for us to use in describing our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because truly, things do not come into existence simply because we discover words to describe it. No, it's the other way around. We find things that are in existence, and then we try to come up with words that try to describe what that means. And for pastors, we oftentimes, under our breath and in small crowds, will confess that churches that have a multiplicity of doctrines that none of them often agree, and they kind of change their doctrines to make them agree with whatever you want them to be, we call them churches that have flexidoxy. If you look it up, it's not in the dictionary, but it's a word that's been discovered that kind of describes churches that simply don't adhere to God's word. But what do we do with the word Trinity and the word triune? I don't know if you read the book, The Shack. I have not read the book myself. However, I've seen a great outline. The author of the book comes up with three characters that kind of personify the triune God. And the one he picked for the lead, the father, is a very large black woman who is very outgoing. She's warm-hearted and kind. And then for the Holy Spirit, he picked this kind of petite Asian woman in brightly dressed clothing who would dart in and out, kind of like Tinkerbell on a mission. And then Jesus, he is portrayed as a stereotypic working man, complete with blue jeans, a flannel shirt, and a tool belt. There are some within the Christian church that took offense at such a exhibit of the unique characteristics of the triune God through those particular characters. But for me, I'm not that put off because it's only fiction and who really cares? But it really does make us begin to think, what does our God look like? If you've ever asked that question, the church has been asking that question from the very foundation of the church. It's been wrestling with, what is this triune God? What is this God who says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And then in other parts of Scripture it says, "Go therefore to all the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So how can God be three, but yet one? It's been difficult for the churches throughout the decades to come up with an answer. Some attempts they've made have fallen terribly short and have been very misleading. In fact, heresies have entered into the church because of them. And two in particular I want to share with you. One is called modalism. And modalism is kind of like God being an actor, but playing three different parts in the play. And so at one point he comes out in this mask, later he'll come out in that mask, and later at that mask, but never all three at the same time. Well, obviously that's not supported in Scripture, and that makes no sense at all. That'd be kind of like being saying that me as a human being, I'm the husband of Julie, I'm the father of Joseph, Jordan, Jenna, and Julia, and I'm the pastor of this congregation. Three different distinct vocations, but yet still one man, but yet I'm still the man all the time. It makes no sense. Then the other one deals with subordination, and the Father is the kingpin, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are kind of subordinate. I'm not going to go into all the doctrine, but needless to say, it's wrong, and the church wrestled with heresy because of those two particular doctrines have been brought forth. And so, in other words, the early church had to come up with a way to combat false doctrine, and so they came up with this idea of creeds, and creed means I believe. And so one of the first creeds they had was the Apostles' Creed. And it has those words, I believe. We say, I believe, because you have to believe for yourself. You can't believe for somebody else. But I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, and the Holy Spirit now sanctifies or makes us holy. That's kind of the premise of the Apostles' Creed. But that wasn't good enough. Because over time they began to argue about how the essence and the substance of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are they subordinate to, or how does it all fit together? And so the church in 318 came up with the next creed. It was called the Nicene Creed. And I find it interesting, of the 318 delegates that were at that synodical convention, it's a far cry from what we have today. It's going to happen in Tampa. There's going to be thousands of representatives there. 318 of those, very few of them had not been maimed or suffered injury because of their faith. And so when they came up with this creed, this was really a matter of life and death. And the creed said that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are of the same essence. They're all three, but yet one. None more superior or one more or subordinate to the other, but they're of the same substance. But it's one thing to assert that there's a Trinity, and to say that we believe in this Holy Trinity, and to embrace the doctrine that we surely fully cannot understand. And it's another thing entirely to base our understanding of God upon what we see God doing in the world today. If there's nothing else you take away from the sermon today, take this with you. We base our understanding of who our God is based upon what He has done, recorded in Holy Scripture, and what God is doing in the world today that we live in. That's how we understand who our God is. And I'll give you an example. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll see God as the creator of both the world and the nation of Israel, through whom the world will be blessed by the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ, incarnate. And of course, God is present as the Spirit, and as the Messiah is both prophesied and foreshadowed in Scripture. In fact, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find Jesus there in that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The angel of the Lord was there, Jesus. His birth only brought Him forth in that incarnation, but Jesus was there from the very foundation of the earth as the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. God said, let us make man our own image. Us, what is He like schizophrenic? No, God says, let us make us. We are all three, but yet still one. And then you get over to the New Testament. Well, further in the Old Testament, God is called by many names. The word El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, and other words were called upon and worshipped as God, Father, Son, and ultimately Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, we see that Jesus' life is revealed through the Gospels. That Christ was incarnate by the Holy Spirit. That He was born of the Virgin Mary, just as the creed confesses. But the reality, it shadows Christ's life through His life and His ministry, all ultimately to His crucifixion, death, and His resurrection. But the Holy Spirit not being left out was there. If you look in the book of Acts, you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit took the lives of cowardly men, of His disciples were men filled with fear because they were afraid of what the Jews would do to them after they crucified Christ, and makes these men who had first so afraid to become beacons of light in the world of darkness. that they had traveled literally to the ends of the known world to proclaim Christ to him crucified with no fear of the consequences. Than a man like the Apostle Paul. Many of you and I are here today because the words of a Jew, Paul, who would ultimately be a crucifier, a killer of Christians, would become an apostle who would proclaim that sweet word that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation of all those who believe, a word that has come to you and to me. And then you see in the book of Revelation that God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there present, each featured in a way that both is consistent with the Old Testament witnesses and also the New Testament. It is amazing to see God in unity with one another. But here's the kicker. Who cares? Whether God's a Trinity or a monolithic God, whatever, does it really matter to us? Do we in the church today really care if God is triune or not? Why do we have to have this Sunday? Couldn't we spend this Sunday talking about something more like missions and outreach, community, the congregation, or something more exciting than Pastor, you boring us to death with the sermon? You already confessed that we're not going to understand anyway. This is what's important, and this is what you and I need to understand. Doctrine or teaching is important within the church. And the reality is, doctrine comes from the lived out experiences of God's people as they interpret the works of God in a real world. As you and I see God active in our world today, knowing Him as Father, Son, and Holy Trinity and Holy Spirit, three in one, is important for a number of reasons. First reason, most importantly, is that we're aware that our God is unique from all other proclaimed or perceived gods of the world. Our God is three persons, but yet in one God. It is amazing. And without a balanced view of all three persons of the Holy Trinity, you and I can never interpret the work of God in the world today. For example, if we emphasize the aspect of God in the Old Testament and subordinate Jesus and the Holy Spirit kind of to the back pew, then we kind of have a really skewed picture of who our Heavenly Father is. He kind of comes off as unloving and a little bit of an ogre. The reality, He killed a lot of Philistines, didn't he? He even killed God's people when they worshiped the golden calf. He slaughtered people by the masses. It seems as if you just look at the Old Testament, understanding God as only the Father, it would seem like He is not very loving at all. But then as you begin to turn to pages of Scripture and you see that if you just look at Jesus and not look at the Father or anybody else, you begin to understand that Jesus came to the world because for God so loved the world that He gave His one only Son. God's not an ogre. God loves you and me. In spite of how often we fall short of His glory, God loves us. And look no further than Jesus on the cross. God sacrificed His own Son to buy you and me back from our sin and from death and everlasting condemnation. It doesn't sound like He's an ogre at all. It seems like He's a very loving and a very compassionate God. Or if we just take our time and look at the Holy Spirit and neglect the other two people of the Godhead, we just look at that charismatic experience of the Holy Spirit, the church goes in the ditch on the other side of the road, because when we begin to only experience the emotion of the faith and we look at the gifts of the Spirit in a different way, we kind of neglect the fact that it's all funneled through the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son working in concert with one another. I think we learned two important things from the Trinity. One, we understand what a community looks like. How much more of an intimate community can you have than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? For they relate together with one another. They demonstrate love to one another. And they work in concert to accomplish the purpose of God in the world. And you and I get a very great picture of what community in the world is supposed to look like. The relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit depicts for many Christians what our family here is supposed to look at. See, we're supposed to love one another. Even at times when we sin against one another, God calls us to love each other as He has loved us. And you're going to pray in a few minutes the Lord's Prayer. He calls us to forgive one another as He has also forgiven you and has forgiven me. I see the church also uses a word in Greek that means to dance around to describe this relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about that. The word dance around works very well because, you know, at the wedding yesterday, my wife and I had to leave after the speeches were made. But the reality was I didn't get to watch the dance. That first dance between bride and groom, I wanted to see if Spencer was going to step on Johanna's toes and if she was going to smack him. But I didn't stay that long. But it's a beautiful thing when people dance together that actually know what they're doing and that flow and that energy, and you dance around the floor, it looks effortless. See, the reality, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It shows us what community looks like when you and I use the gifts that God has given us to do His will in this place within the world He's created. It is truly a beautiful thing. But I think more importantly, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity helps us to see what our mission is all about. Jesus' words were, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." The Father sent Jesus out in the world for the specific purpose of being crucified, dying, and being resurrected for the sins of the world. And now Jesus says, "I am sending you out." For our church is not bound by walls. Our church is to flow out in the community where you can't even see the walls because of our love for those that live in the world around us. So God sent Jesus to bring His peace unto the world, a peace that's called salvation. And although that peace was delivered through Christ born of that virgin in Bethlehem, that peace was not limited just to the Jews. For God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Through the Trinity, God gives us a very good picture of what our mission within this world should look like. The Father and Son then sent the Holy Spirit to equip and to empower and to embolden the early apostles and even us today. And salvation itself, the idea that we are right with God, that whole idea that we can stand before God in spite of our sins, knowing that we are right, we are forgiven, proceeds from God in the incarnation of Jesus Christ and is only made possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit brings what happened on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, He brings it to that font located out in our narthex. That water splashes and the words are spoken. It's God through Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as creating that new life. In a moment, the work of the Holy Spirit will be delivered to your tongue, the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, for not only your forgiveness, but also for the strength of your faith. This day, as we celebrate, this day, as we stand as the body of Christ and give thanks to our God, who is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, we can't just limit it to some theological concept that we talk about once a year and we proclaim through a really lengthy Athanasian Creed once a year. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are loved by God. And we are led by His Holy Spirit. Those three persons of the Godhead are at work in our lives and the life of this congregation to make a difference not only to us personally, but also to the world in which you and I live in. And being aware of the Trinity isn't simply enough. But it's living out that Christian life in the world in which you and I are in today. My prayer is you leave this church today, you will leave as the children of God, not only forgiven, but led by God's Spirit to proclaim that peace, that shalom to the world in which we live in. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.